Today is part six in this series, God and Family. And to review just briefly from the last time we were together, the title of last week was God and Family Part 5, Stand Your Ground. We took a look at the story of the prodigal son there in Luke chapter 15. And what we noticed was that, you know, the younger son, just the fact that he asked for his portion of the inheritance was extremely rebellious. It just didn't happen that way back then. Generally, you know, you waited till the father died before you got that. And one minister said that by virtue of the son asking for his share of the inheritance, it was almost like he was saying, "Father, you're dead to me. Give me my inheritance." Now, I don't know if that was generally or actually the attitude of the heart of that younger son, but we know what happened. And the whole time, the father stood his ground. He did not yield. He did not give in. He did not go running after his son. Because, see, you can run after a child, a rebellious child, and put him in a headlock, drag him back into the house, but what has changed? They're just back in the house with their rebellion. And now they may be more rebellious than what they were before. To deal with a rebellious child, you know, you've got to stand your ground. And a rebellious child, as we learned last time, cannot be allowed to run the home. And all too often that happens. You know, I saw a video here not too long ago of a mother telling a child no. And that child, I mean, that, screaming and yelling at the mother and actually was slapping the mother in the face. Now, I reserve comment on that one, but I think, based on what we see in Proverbs, the mother should have taken a stand, and maybe she did later, I don't know. But the moment that kid's hand started up, mama should have taken action. And she didn't. The problem is, we live in a society that is so, there are a lot of things I could say about our society, but I'm telling you what, our society is run by a bunch of stupid, idiot morons. And I'm talking bless God damnable fools. Because when they tell you it's illegal to do what God's Word says, they are on their way to hell and they're going to burn forever unless they turn and get it right with Jesus Christ. And you've got Christians that are on the borderline with this. Because when you got Christians that tell you you can't raise your child the way God has said in the Word, don't even listen to what those people have to say. Just look. You can look at them and say, according to the words of Jesus Christ, you're a fool. And let them get mad. They're already messed up in the head anyway. You say, well, Brother Martin, that's pretty stern. Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe somebody will rethink their position. Because when God's Word says something, He pretty much means it. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking when I put that in the Bible. No. No, that's not the way it works. And I know some folks get offended about some of these things, and I don't mean to be rude, but I don't care. The Word of God is the Word of God, you know? And, you know, it's better for you to get upset and offended now than to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know that. Well, now you know. Praise God. So anyway, moving right along. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to read a verse we've already read in this series, but we want to take another look at it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, that just generic, male or female. Train up a child in the way the child should go, and when the child is old, the child will not depart from it. Now, we know that children have a will. And they're going to do whatever they want. The goal here is to train them to do what's right. But you can't make them do what's right. Now, I know you can tell them, all right, go stand in the corner. Young boy got in trouble one day. His mama told him, you go there and stand in the corner. So he said, all right, fine. And he goes over and he says, I may be standing on the corner on the outside, but on the inside, I'm out there playing. In other words, he's making his point, you know? Well, okay, some kids are like that. Some kids are more strong-willed than others. That's just how it is. But this whole thing of training up a child in the way it should go, this is not exclusively about train the child about Jesus. This is about the complete everything about life. Train a child the way the child should live. This is not only about Jesus loves you and you need to ask Jesus into your heart and however we present it. This whole aspect of the training can be summed up in three ways. One, God's Word. Two, action, meaning the actions and lifestyle of those raising the child. And three, consistency. One of the biggest mistakes parents make is not being consistent. And you can't blame the child for a lack of consistency. I shared this in the series, how that it's just amazing to me how parents just don't seem to get it with children. Now, not all parents, but some. They see their children differently than they see every other child in the world. And I'm baffled by this, because it's like parents put these blinders on. Well, you know what? You love your kid. I get it. God gets it. He loves them more than you. Take the blinders off and deal with reality. Take the blinders off and accept what you really see going on. And stop making excuses for your child. Because if you're going to make excuses for your own child, stop getting upset concerning what you see in everybody else's kids. Deal with it at home. Deal with your family. And still not like what you see in some of the other kids, but don't excuse their behavior. Don't excuse something when it's wrong. You've got to be consistent in this. And this is one of the hardest things for many parents, it seems, is consistency. Because all too often, consistency is based on the mood of the day. Well, it can't be like that. You know, you've got to control yourself to be consistent. Remember, you're training a child not interacting with an adult. As adults, we know people have good days, bad days, feel-good days, bad mood days, I'm happy, I'm not happy. We understand as adults those kind of things can go on. But you're dealing with a child who is still developing. And what we're talking about is that aspect of development today, but we're talking about character development. And this is one of the most critical aspects of child raising that you're going to encounter. It's not simply a matter of telling the child about Jesus. It is about doing everything you can to influence the character of that child. Character development is not personality development. A personality is a personality. Type A personality, type B personality, or whatever else they talk about. Character is how a personality is demonstrated. Now, character will influence personality. But personality not influenced by Christ-like character can absolutely be disastrous. Proverbs 29, in verse 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. In verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. When we see these things in Scripture, often we read that and we say, okay, I read this and now I compare what I'm reading to my child. I'm not seeing these traits in my child. Okay? Then which is wrong? The Bible or what you're thinking? Meaning, because what you're really saying is, I don't know if I believe what this says because I'm not seeing it in my child. Well, maybe you're the one that's messing up. But then again, maybe you're not. Remember, children have a will. Parents have a responsibility to influence the child, but the child's still going to do what the child wants to do. And some of you know that all too well. Don't let a broken heart over your child cause you to back off from taking the right stand with the Word of God. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Look, this is not doom and gloom, but too many parents don't want to live in reality. You've got a lot of parents out there who've watched their children destroy themselves with drugs and riotous living, as Scripture mentions. And the children have died. Well, you know what? If a child is just determined they're going to do that stuff, it wouldn't matter to them if they saw the dead raised. You have to understand that. Every member of the Hell's Angels has had parents. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In other words, these things can happen, and parents don't want to believe it can happen to their child. How many parents have said such a thing? I can't believe my kid's doing this. We raised him better than that. Well, I don't doubt that you did. Some parents, maybe not. Just get it settled. Your child is not always going to do what you want your child to do. And some of you have already encountered that. I said, clean up your room. I don't want to. I said, clean up your room. I don't want to. Well, then you can't go outside. Okay. Well, then you can't watch TV. Okay. Well, then you can't play your video game. Okay. And on it goes. How exasperating is that? It's like, okay, what's going to work? I'll hit you with a 2x4. Okay. Wait. When you have a child like that, what are you going to do? And believe it or not, there are kids out there who are that passively stubborn. But you want to, you know, tie me to the back of your car and drag me around the backyard? Okay. I'm still not going to clean my room. What are you going to do? Well, if you don't clean it, then we're going to just let it turn into a pigsty. Okay. And how long are you going to take that before you finally just, I can't take that filthy room anymore. And the kid says back, I won again. Is that how you want to live? Well, then we're going to put you outside in the storage barn. Okay. Accept it, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, or if you like Andy Griffith, aunts and uncles. Aunts. You're dealing with a human being who has free will. That's just the way it is. When it comes to developing character, all you can do is influence, but you cannot control. Kids, they'll learn how to be polite when you're around. But when you're not around, what are they going to do? Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And just begin in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, for all of the kids still living at home, you know, if you don't pay attention to verses 1 through 3, you're a fool. And your life's going to be messed up, and you're dumber than you think. Because God is telling you right here, I, Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, will bless your life if you do what I'm saying here. Parents, where it says, honor thy father and mother, that is not blind obedience. Honor your father and mother because mom and dad are supposed to be doing what's right before God. So it works both ways here. Then where he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That doesn't mean, well, don't let your children get upset. And if you tell them to do something and they don't want to do it and they get mad because you tell them, you better do this, you know, don't back off. I mean, he's not saying do whatever to keep your kid from being unhappy or mad. No, he's saying, let me kind of paraphrase it. Don't let your temper govern how you parent your child. That's what he's saying here. I don't know, a dozen different ways we could say it, but that kind of helps you understand the perspective here. You've got to be parents. You have to be the example. Because generally the kids are going to be around you more than others. Generally. But that's not always true. Because they're going to be, you know, at school and with friends and this, that, and the other. As I was doing some research on this, what I found is that the time, here's where it comes from secular research. The time from birth till age 8 is the most critical in a child's life. That is when they are the most influenced and most impressionable, if you will. But I disagree with that. I say from conception to maybe age 8. Because that child, when that child develops a sense of hearing in the womb, a child can hear. And so that child needs you to be training even before the child is born. I'm holding my belly like I'm giving birth or something here. Well, it looks like you are. Look at that. Okay, let's move on here. No, I say from conception on to age 8 or 9 or whatever it really is. But that's the time when a child is most impressionable, and that's where, as a parent, you better watch out. Kids, we've already covered this, though, that kids that can't even talk understand what you're saying. But they just can't pronounce the words. And it's a lot of garble that comes out, and you can't understand it. But they know what you're saying. They absolutely know what you're saying. And, you know, this whole thing that people use as... And I'm not saying that when people do this and people do that, I'm generally speaking about the church, the body of Christ. But this whole thing about, well, you know, times have changed. Man, I'm telling you, that. What does that mean? See, a lot of Christians want to use that as an excuse for not following the pattern in God's Word. Okay, so you say times have changed, but what does that mean? Well, obviously, technology and living conditions have improved. Yeah, they've changed. This has happened. But a society is absolutely going to degenerate without a God consciousness and biblical foundation. It doesn't matter what technology does. It doesn't matter how far advanced we become. You know, we are now living in an age where years ago, movies portrayed what we now do as being science fiction. But now it's going on. Now it's happening. Well, praise God for all of that. And I'm thankful for all those advances. I mean, they make life easier. But it doesn't change what we need. You know, if you find, okay, no, I don't think you're going to find any society in all of history that has improved morally without Jesus and God's Word being involved. I'm thinking, you know, okay, has there been a society that actually did this? No. Because the moment that you remove that foundation is the moment you have opened the door for destruction and degradation. And it's happening in this nation. That's just the way it is. See, every generation has degenerated further. One of the things that I find interesting is people want to talk about the global community as far as trade, as far as technology, as far as communication and all that. And I'm not talking about this, the one world order ruled by the Antichrist. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how people talk about, you know, we're no longer just a nation. We're a world community. Well, you know, I understand that concept. However, this world as a generation has degenerated further and further. It's going downhill. It's progressing technologically, but it's going downhill every other way. You know, we can sit in our homes and have this gigantic screen television and play a movie, and it is going to be sharper and clearer with unbelievable sound that far exceeds what we could see in a theater 40, 50 years ago. Now, the screen a little bit smaller than a theater, but still, you know. But the thing is, so much of what we put up there on that screen is at a level that is so morally bankrupt and corrupt, you wouldn't have seen it in a movie theater unless you went to one of those back alley movie theaters, you know, where they showed the stuff that you know what I'm talking about here. Now, we've got stuff on TV. And this is not an anti-TV message, you know that. But what I'm saying is, there's been degeneration, not progress, relative to the standards of a society. When it comes to developing a child's character, the child's personality is one thing. But when it comes to developing the child's character, you have three factors involved. This is it. Three factors. One, home; two, society; three, the church. Well, what about God's Word? Home, society, or the church has to introduce the Word of God to the child. So it starts in the home, in society, and in the church. Now, if all three have become corrupt, what chance did the child have? Number one, this is supposed to be happening in the home. But too many parents want to leave it up to the church to help change, develop, impress, and so forth their child's character. The church is to be a support factor for what goes on in the home. The parents have the responsibility for this. The church is to help. But society... when I say society, I'm talking about everything outside the church, everything outside the home, school, sports, the friends in the neighborhood, all of that, just everything that's out there in society. If you leave your child to society, they're going to have corrupt character. Now, I don't care how sweet they are personality-wise, they're going to have a corrupt character. And today, you have so many churches that are corrupt in their theology, even though they say you must be born again, or you must be born again and you should get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yet their theology is so messed up, you're going to have corrupt character introduced. Because when you train children, they don't have to repent. If they sin, What are you telling them? How in the world can parents implement any kind of godly standard in the home when the church is teaching the child you don't have to repent when you sin? Parents, you need to get your children out of those churches. Now, they don't get that here, as you well know. But if you're watching this and you go to a church where they believe that stuff, hey, don't you start fussing and complaining if your kids end up all kinds of weird. Because if they're hearing from the pulpit, from Sunday school or whatever, that you don't have to repent if you sin, my goodness, what do you expect? That's making your job at home even harder. But along with this, when it comes to developing your child's character, the goal is not for you to replicate yourself. Your child is an individual. The goal is for you to guide that child to the character of Christ. That's what you're after. Now, real briefly, look here in Galatians, or turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, and here in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 7. Charity, which would be the love of God in action. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. What we have just read in Galatians and then here in 1 Corinthians, this is a description of the character of Christ. This is what you're leading your children into, or what you're guiding them toward. This kind of character will mesh with their personality and have an influence on their personality. You take a lot of people who, are the real bold, outspoken people. Well, they didn't get that way overnight. That type of personality has been there. And this thing of, well, that's just the way I am. Well, then you need to get saved and develop the character of Christ. Because the character of Christ will soften a type A personality. This is why it's so critical for parents to guide their children in that direction. Now, I'm going to give you five aspects of this whole issue of developing the character of your child. Now, there's a whole lot more that could go into this, but this is just a general description. Number one, for you as a parent, prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. You need God's wisdom. See, you can't figure this out totally on your own. You need God's wisdom. You need His Word. You need to pray to get to that place of being able to minister to your children and developing, helping them to develop their character. This means you've got to do your part in your walk with God. But it also means that you need to incorporate prayer and the Word during this time of, well, I mean, the whole time the kids are growing up, okay? Not just to age 8 or age 9, but the whole time they're growing up. This influence, this character training needs to be there. Listen, for the school, if your kid is in Christian school or in public school, that school system, that influence, those teachers, those peers, those fellow students and so forth, they've got your kid 5 days a week, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Then when they come home, they have them every day longer than you. I mean, once everybody goes to bed, you're not influencing anyone. So you've got to be there in this way every single day and get it settled. You know, kids number one and two, they'll go with it. Kids number three and four, they're going to fuss the whole time. I don't want to pray. I'm tired of praying. I don't want to read the Bible. I'm tired. I don't want to. Hey, no, wait, no. This is what we got to do. This is what we have to do. Remember, the Word of God, now this works for the kids or this works for adults. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means experience a change in character and mindset and thought process. But you have to renew your mind. How do you do that? The Word of God is where it starts. Number two, we've kind of touched on this one before, but know your child. Every child is different. Every child has a different personality. Every child already has a type of character in them. It's already there. The goal here is to work with each child. God gives you the wisdom, the understanding, so that that child's character is directed toward the character of Christ. Don't assume you know your children. Please don't assume you know your children. Well, that's easy, Pastor. I mean, you don't know my kids. Not yet. You just told me you don't know your kids. Look, how many Christian parents have been shocked to find out that little Johnny or little Susie are doing whatever? How many Christian parents are like, what? What? No way. That can't be my child. Yeah, that is your kid. And you don't know him. Okay, have you forgotten how you were as a child? You telling me you never hid anything from mommy and daddy? You telling me you never acted differently around mommy and daddy than, you know, with your friends? Come on. You did and you know it. This goes back to what I was talking, here sermon or three ago. Don't forget where you came from. Don't lose touch with reality. Remember how it was. You know, I just get amazed when I hear parents talk about, well, when I was in school, we didn't know these kind of sex things. I'm thinking, did you grow up like in a basement chained to a wall or something? Seriously? Yeah, you did. It just wasn't on television. You just didn't have a cell phone to share it with everybody. If I stood here and told you about the things I knew about and heard about and talked about and heard talked about when I was in seventh grade, some of you would say, well, what kind of a degenerate are you, Brother Martin? No, it was there. It was there. But it's like a lot of parents forget what it was like. You telling me there wasn't locker room talk back when you were in high school? Come on. And it got descriptive at times. Girls talked too. I mean, the point I'm making again is don't just assume you know your kid. Make an effort to know your child. And you don't do that by coming across as this drill sergeant. That doesn't work. Huh? You know, it didn't work for you when you were a kid. Parents forget how they wanted to be related to as a child. And so they just, again, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I am constantly shocked at how ignorant parents can be when it comes to dealing with their children. I'm not an expert, but what I'm saying is, quite frankly, I have a better grip on how to deal with kids than a lot of parents do, simply because I remember what it was like. I know what I was like. And I know what I wanted. And I got a lot of... Anyway, let's move on. Praise God. Number three. You train your children. Now, Scripture's the guidebook. And it absolutely must be the standard and the foundation. If you're going to try and mold your child's character, it's got to be done by virtue of the Word. You know, I forget which verse this is, but it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? As a parent, you do not have the liberty or the freedom. No, let me rephrase this. If you're going to do it right, you don't have the liberty or freedom to establish a foundation you think will work. It has to be the Word of God. You know, this is where a lot of Christians get messed up, is when you start trying to impose the Word of God upon their lives. I mean, if you don't live by the Word of God, how in the world do you know how to set that as a standard for your children? If you don't know what's going on, how in the world can you use it as a foundation if it's not a foundation for your own life? Well, we love the Lord in this house. Really? Well, okay, then live like it. Use the Word. If something's wrong, use the Word to explain why. You know, so what? You know, mommy and daddy say, big whoop, his mommy and daddy say something different. Just because I live here in this house with you, what makes you right? How about if I go down there and live with them? You know, you can't just make up the rules as you go. God's Word absolutely must be the standard. And if you tell them, look, you can't do this, this isn't, well, why is it bad? Well, if it's something you can identify in Scripture, then you say, well, it's bad because God says don't do this kind of a thing. Or if it's something that can be injurious to their body, then you tell them why. Well, it's because if you do this, such and such could happen, you could end up really hurt. Some kids are just goofy enough to do it anyway and get hurt. You know, okay, you know, perfect example. There's the bench, there's the sign, wet paint. How many people, adults, oh, yep, guess it is. We never outgrow that. Number four. If you're going to work with this child to help develop their character, or try to, there has to be discipline and punishment. And they are not the same. Now, they're companions, but they're not the same. Discipline is more about teaching a child how to govern himself. In other words, how to discipline himself to do what's right, to make the right choices, how to govern themselves in life, how to accept responsibility for what they do. You know, I'm just amazed, you know, parents, I don't know how, why is the kid acting like that? Because the kid sees you doing the same thing. Accepting responsibility has become almost forbidden in our society. Well, you know what? That's not the character of Christ. You accept responsibility. That's what discipline is about. Punishment is a result of violating or transgressing a life discipline. It goes along with what I've said for years. Law is for the lawless, and force is for the rebellious. Okay, law is the discipline aspect. Force is the punishment aspect. The Bible is a revelation of how a Christian is supposed to discipline himself in life. Now, discipline instilled in a child should go so deeply that there is conviction if the child is even thinking about doing something wrong. You know, if you smoke, then don't go ballistic when one of your kids lights up one of your cigarettes. What's the matter with you? You want to get sick? Well, you smoke 3 packs of these things a day. And, you know, you're pretty old. At least with all those wrinkles from smoking, you look like it. I figured if you made it this far, I might as well try, you know. You keep alcoholic beverages in the house? Don't get all fussy-wussy if one of your kids decides to take a sip when you're gone. Or if you show up, you can tell the kid's been into the booze cabinet, the wine cabinet, the six-pack. And you can tell the kid, you're just not yourself tonight. That's right, Mom. The world is a great place. Oh, hallelujah. Like, okay, I notice we're missing about 3 cans of Budweiser over here. You know, don't fuss at your kid. What do you want your child to be? Live it in front of them. Live it. Be what you want your child to be. Demonstrate that character. And they're going to see flaws in you. But explain it. I'm still growing in the Lord. I'm still becoming what Jesus wants me to be, and I've got a responsibility to help you be further along than I am. And I'm going to help you out. I'm going to do what I can. You know, I talked about this here, three or four sermons ago, but there is no such thing as rational discourse with a child who has not yet developed mentally to the point of being capable of having that kind of discourse. It can't happen. Remember, you're talking about a person whose mindset is so undeveloped that they will accept and believe that a fat man in a red suit rides in a sleigh being drawn by flying reindeer and can fit down every chimney in the world and put presents under a decorated tree. All right? You and I both know that is impossible. Nobody can do that. But a child has a mindset that cannot analyze that information properly and accept the fact reindeer don't fly. Oh, there are fat people out there that wear red suits, but reindeer cannot fly. And we don't even have a chimney. We don't even have a fireplace. How's that dude get in here? What, did he get a key? I mean, what? Children don't know. And their mindset has not been developed to analyze information. Look, if you can't even figure out that reindeer don't fly and this fat dude can't make it around the entire planet to 7 billion people, if you can't figure that out, how in the world can you rationalize Christ-like character? How can you analyze that and come to a conclusion? You can't. That's why, parents, you've got to sit down with them and exercise this whole thing of discipline along with the punishment. And some kids, flat out, they need more punishment than others. They all need discipline. All of them need discipline. All of them need reminders. All of them, they if you ignore this, and this is another one that boggles my mind, how some of these experts, people have gone to college, and they get their PhDs and so forth, child development, and they're telling you to relate to your children like they're adults. What school did you go to? That is crazy. That is lunacy. I mean, you need help if you believe that. A child's mind is not developed. I'll tell you a story. This is true now. There was a dad who, he got really upset with the local sheriff's department because they kept giving his daughter speeding tickets. Now, this man, I'm not going to tell you who it is. He's born again. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He even pastors a church. And I know him. He really got upset. And he believed. It got to the point where he, you know, they are out there in their sheriff cars, their patrol cars, and they're looking for her. They're just waiting for her to come by. They are looking for my daughter. Oh, he was so upset. He actually started rebuking the devil that had launched this attack on his daughter. Now, he tells this story publicly, and he laughs about it. Then one day, when he was praying, he heard God tell him why this is happening. God said, "I'm trying to save her life." And it clicked. She wouldn't be getting the speeding tickets if she weren't speeding. Wow. Now, he's going to hear this sermon. And he laughs. He tells this publicly. He laughs about it. I'm not saying it to discredit him. I'm just saying his child, he then understood, okay, he talked to her about this. Said, look, you're getting these tickets because you're speeding. You know, don't do this. If you drive the speed limit, they're not going to give you a ticket. And he said, you know, I'm tired of funding the policeman's retirement fund here, okay? And so he understood. But see, you know, parents, they want to defend their children. I get it. I do understand. But when you look at things from a rational perspective and think, okay, the children have to take responsibility for themselves. And he did. He understood this, and he did the right thing. And now it's a very funny and humorous story. Well, number five. Love, listen, be involved, and respect your child. Now I'll explain this. The Bible talks about we're supposed to love as God loves us. That means my approach to my child, my love for my child, needs to mirror God's love for me. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. God will not... The relationship, I get it, is different between God and us, and adults, but we have a responsibility. See, God said, be fruitful and multiply. God doesn't make babies to show up. We're the ones who do our part, and then a baby comes into existence. We create a human being. And so, therefore, we have the responsibility to steward what we have created. We love the way that God loves us. We hold our children accountable. We love them without reservation, but we do not accommodate rebellion or character flaws without dealing with it. We don't just ignore this. The whole aspect of the listen, this is a major flaw that I've witnessed in many parents. They get upset and they don't want to listen to a child. And many times the children will try to explain why they did what they did. And a lot of parents, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of your stuff. Run. Okay, you've just rejected your child because remember, you have lost focus on the fact that your child cannot think the way you do. So therefore, the child's messed up, done something wrong, whatever. And you're upset. Why did you do that? Don't ever ask that question if you're not going to give them a chance to tell you. Don't ask them, why did you do that, if you don't want them to tell you. Give them a chance. Why did you do that? And then wait. And they're probably going to give you some stupid reason. Like, I don't know. And the fact is, they may not. I don't know. At the time, it seemed to be the smart thing to do. And you don't know why they did it. Why? Otherwise, you wouldn't ask. Now, that's just an example. Listen to them. Give them the opportunity to express themselves. This is a part of character development. Even if what they say is totally wrong, it gives you the opportunity to explain why it's wrong. But don't just shut them down. Give them a chance to talk. I don't believe you. We told you curfew was 11, midnight, whatever. What do you mean coming in late? Why are you doing this? Why are you late? Let them tell you. And if they lie, you'll catch them in a lie. But at least give them the chance to express themselves. No matter how wrong they are, because that way they will never be able to accuse you. You never listened to me. Then listen. Just listen. And when you're listening, ask God to help you hear what you need to hear. Because they're going to express themselves differently than you. They're still learning vocabulary. And God will help you hear something that you need to hear so that you can approach this from a better perspective. The whole aspect about being involved, be there for them. Be there for them. This does not mean that you just let them get involved in every kind of activity and sport and whatever. You be involved with them. You be involved with them. Read to them. Help them read to you. And as they get older, well, I've shared this in the past, but reading is one of the best ways to develop the mindset of a child or the mindset of a person, develop your mental acumen. But you reading to them, you know, you can teach your kids to read by age 3. Now, I know all kids learn at a different rate, but the worst thing you can do is assume your kid is too stupid to learn. Well, they're too young for that. And who told you that? TV? The newspaper? What? Who told you that? No, assume your kid is smarter and can learn. And work with them. Teach them. But be involved in their life. Let them know that you care. And then this next one ties in with the be involved thing, and that is respect. Respect your children. They are individuals. They are humans. Let them know that you respect them. That doesn't mean you put them on a pedestal and let them run the house. But you let them know that you respect them. Let me give you an example. You know, here's your kid. Your kid's got, you know, a stuffed dog and a stuffed cat. And they're talking, you know, the kid, you know, the dog's name is, you know, Ruffy, and the cat is Fluffy. And Ruffy and Fluffy are talking to each other, you know? Okay, now, as adults, we don't do things like that. I mean, if I walk into your house and you got... Respect the fact that as a child, that is how they are developing the way that they communicate. Because if they're using a stuffed animal to talk to another stuffed animal, this helps mold them in the direction of communicating as an adult. Let this develop. Your child likes to play with building blocks. Okay, well, you know what? Sit down and play with them. In other words, respect the fact they like to play with stuffed animals because that's where they are at this age. Respect the fact they like to play with, you know, the building blocks and Legos and all of this stuff. Help them with this. Meaning, whatever it would be. Let me give you one. This one, it still kind of boggles my mind. Our youngest grandson, when he was little, I mean, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5, one of the things that he really liked watching on television, the cooking shows. It's like, what? How many? No, you're not supposed to watch. You're supposed to watch cartoons. He liked watching cooking shows. You know, how many kids at that age want to watch a cooking show? Get this. Now, what is he, 13 now? Now he's 13 years old. For the last 3, 4, 5 years, he has been coming up with his own recipes and fixing dinner for the family. And his mom has been posting pictures of these things, that these creations. It's like, where in the world is that coming from? He may end up being a gourmet chef somewhere. I don't know. What I'm saying is, his mom and dad respected that interest. And they got involved in that interest by allowing him to get in the kitchen and do stuff. Now, granted, you know, mom would have been there to help supervise or whatever. And I think you understand where I'm coming from on this. This is very, very important because when you're working to develop the child's character, they need to know, okay, you're mom and dad, but you do care what I'm interested in. You do respect, you know, one of the worst things you can do is let children have the liberty to lock their bedroom door so nobody can get in. But at the same time, if the door is closed, knock. Respect their privacy. When they understand that you as a parent are parenting them, but you're also identifying them as an individual, they're going to understand better that you care, that you love them. And again, I want to go back to this whole aspect of prayer. Constantly be before God and asking Him for the wisdom on how to train my child. How do I do this? It never stops. It never stops. When you're 80 years old, you're still going to have the opportunity to sow into your 55-year-old child. Because you've learned more by age 80 that you can pass on. Develop now that relationship so it stays strong later in life. And yeah, the day's going to come. They're going to move. They're going to be gone. Even if it's just down the street, they're going to leave the house. You want to be able to sit back and think, you know, I wasn't perfect, but I did try. I really did try. And that's all you can do, is try. And don't ever, 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 if your child messes up big time, you know, later on in life, don't get caught up in this condemnation of, where did I go wrong? You're going to start living in the past, and you're going to make yourself an emotional wreck. How could I have failed my child? Remember this. The older your child gets, the more their spirit is going to be conscious of God. Lost or born again, the more responsible they are for their own actions. If they mess up, don't you take it on you as being the sole reason why they messed up. You say, yeah, but you know, my kids are kind of older right now. And all right, well, you know what? Start now. Just start now. Kids 5, kids 6, kids 15, whatever. Start now. Let's go from this point and do what's right. And you're going to have an influence on the child. If the child comes to you and says, how come you're doing this stuff now? I mean, what's going on? Just say, you know what? All these years, I messed up. And I didn't realize how important it was for me to do, you know, this, the prayer, the reading the Bible with you, whatever. I didn't understand it. But now, from what I realize in God's Word, this is something I should have been doing, and I'm sorry. I did you wrong by not doing this. So now I'm going to do it. And we're going to try to make up for lost time, but you know, I'm going to do right for you. And that way both of us will be able to stand before God and say, you know what? Yeah, we tried. We tried. God will help you parent your child doing everything you can to train that child in the admonition of the Lord.